Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are beginning a week. We started yesterday on diving into a little bit of Philippians chapter 2. And what we began to see, and this is very common that we see in many of Paul's letters, is he just carries so well this combination of how our vertical relationship with Christ now affects our horizontal relationships with other people. And how really these communities that they're living in at the time, these tight-knit communities, are really these places where they can play out how to love one another with the love of Christ. And we see this in this reading that we've begun in Philippians. And yesterday, if you were with us, we began just with an encouragement, and just an encouragement for the new year. And if you weren't here, or if you need that encouragement again, I want to give it to you again, just that in this new year, whether you've began encouraged, whether you began discouraged, that the Lord is with you, and he is with you in your weakness. He is with you in those places of weakness, of mess, of pain, of hurt. Those places that you were hoping would disappear in the new year, that you were hoping you would be better at, those habits that you were hoping that you would keep all the way to those situations that you've been holding out hope for that have not changed, to know that the Lord is with you, that he has not abandoned you, that in those places of weakness especially is where he wants to meet you. And I think particularly once we begin to talk about our relationship with others, about unity, about putting others first, about imitating the humility of Christ, we can tend to actually let deep discouragement set in of like, okay, this is great, but like, this is so hard and I'm not doing this. And I'm looking at all the ways in my life that I'm not putting others before myself and I'm not guarding unity and all of these different things. But the reality is Christ sees you, he's walking with you, and he's empowering us through the new life we have in Christ to live in this new way, the new way that we're seeing in Philippians. All of these things. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's pray and let's read our passage and dive in to what the Lord is saying to us today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we come to you just as we are. Each and every one of us, no matter where we're at, we come to you and we just ask you to shine your light into our hearts, Lord. As we read this word, let a spirit of encouragement just pass over us, a spirit of unity, a spirit of desire to go deeper in our relationships with others, to honor others, and to ultimately honor you. We ask that we would be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you've shown us this path that we can follow. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we began in chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and read again those first couple of verses. Chapter 2, verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have the same mind among yourselves which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we read a few more verses there, and I want to stop there because, again, we're going to get into, we're reading a few more and a few more verses into this beautiful hymn of Christ, into this beautiful hymn of the Lord that Paul talks about, this hymn of Jesus. And so we talked yesterday about unity. Paul's saying, complete my joy by having the same mind among you. by being in full accord and having of one mind. And then he's going to tell us, how do you do that? Because it's like, it's a little nebulous, right? It's like, what does that even mean? Like, think the same thoughts as other people? No, what we began to talk about yesterday is putting on the mind of Christ and loving people from the well of God's love. I remember my mom telling one time the story about there was someone in her life who was very difficult to love. And this person was in a lot of suffering, and she felt the Lord calling her to love this person. And she said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to love this person. I don't know how I'm going to love this person. But when she went to this person's house and saw this person, she said, this person turned around and I saw the face of Christ in this person. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, this is how you will love them. You will love me in them. And this is this unity, friends. It's loving Christ in the other with the very love of Christ. And when we all begin to do that, we begin to truly become one. And so how do we actually begin to love in this way? Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit. Now, I think sometimes this can be really challenging because we are all, I guess maybe I'll speak for myself, I'm a very, very mixed bag. Because there's a lot of things that I do that I'm like, no, I'm doing it for this reason. But then sometimes if I do something and it doesn't get noticed, like maybe I serve or maybe I pick up all the chairs or maybe I clean the kitchen and it doesn't get noticed, then I'm like, okay, literally nobody noticed what I was doing. And then I have to examine the motivation of my heart to say, why am I doing this? And friends, this isn't a place of condemnation. It's not a place that the Lord is like, oh my gosh, like you need to do it. Why don't you have pure motives? But Jesus lived and loved with the purest possible motives. And what he wants to help us do by giving us himself and by allowing us to experience his love for us that has no other motive but love itself, he can begin to purify us. Because we all sometimes have different motives. We want to be loved. We have these human desires, which are good desires. But I know sometimes for me, that desire can overtake doing it for the sake of the other person. So do nothing from selfishness or conceit, wanting to be noticed, wanting to get something for ourselves, wanting to be the one to do it, wanting to look good. Honestly, there have been times like I maybe even will have like a, I don't know if you've ever had this, if you're in conflict with somebody or you feel like somebody's not on a good page with you or somebody doesn't like you. Maybe this is just for a people pleaser like me. And sometimes I'll like reach out to the person to want to like do something or being like, oh, can I grab you a coffee or can I do this or can I do this for you? Which is a really like nice thing to do. But as I've been reflecting with the Lord, I've been pausing before I do that and asking the Lord, am I doing this out of love? Like, am I grabbing a coffee for this person because I love them or because I want them to view me in a good light? Like, am I actually searching sometimes for relationship with people, or do I want to be seen as a person that has these relationships? And that's super honest. And if you're like listening and you're like, hey, she got me coffee, I'm not talking about you. So don't worry about it. But just to say that these are the places that the Lord wants to come, friends, and not in a harsh way, but that the Holy Spirit wants to come and begin to examine our hearts and make us holy from the inside out, to truly change the motives of our hearts, to say, I want to purify you. I want you to become like me. I want you to learn how to love, not because you're so terrible and horrible and bad, but because of the fall, and I need to teach you. So I think taking stock in our lives, and even just right now as you're thinking, where are places? And these are sometimes the goals that the Lord wants us to have for the new year is not even like it's great to get back in the gym. Like, I love the gym, but to also say like, how is my heart? How is the purity of my heart with my family, with my neighbors, with those who are consistently in relationship with me? How am I treating them in a way that reflects a place of purity? Do I want others to be seen more than me? And I love this, in humility, count others better than yourselves. Sometimes I think even because of our own selfishness and pride, I think this is a little bit what Paul is trying to communicate, and he'll tell us a real definition of humility, is it's not, I love this, C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So it says, in humility, count others better than yourselves. That's not you saying, I'm so horrible, I'm all this kind of stuff. But I think it's this thing of actually like learning to delight in others. Like I honestly sometimes have this thing where like I'll see someone doing something and I want to like take control of it because I'm like, I got it. Like I can do it. Like I can drive, you know. Even have you ever been on a road trip and someone's driving? Like this is such a dumb example, but it's like someone's driving and you're like, if you drive on the rumble strip one more time or like you're pressing on the brakes, like I could drive so much better than you. And it's not that that's a sin at all, but it's just an example to say like sometimes in my heart, like I don't trust what other people have to bring to the table. And it's a way of actually delighting and growing in trust of others to say, here, you take the lead. You take control. Oh, wow, look at this gifting. I'm going to raise you up and I'm going to delight in how you're doing something. Do you ever not give tasks to people? Like parents, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I don't make my kids clean the bathroom because I know it's not going to be up to my cleanliness standard anyway, so I just do it. Are there things like that in your life? And maybe it's being like, you know, I don't have to be the one to do this because I can trust somebody. I can consider somebody better than myself in this area. And I think there's these places of pride that spring up in our hearts. And then we think humility is just like being like, well, I'm the worst. I'm horrible. I just have to make myself so, so small. And it's not about making ourselves small. It's about wanting others to have the chance to shine. It's about wanting others to get a place. It's about wanting others to have the chance to be who they're called to be. And this is what Paul's saying here. And I think these two things go beautifully hand in hand is when our goal is unity, we don't need to look out so much for how we're feeling in a situation, for our own individual interests, for the time that we're getting, for if we're being noticed, for all of these different things. But in humility, count others better than yourselves, right? Humility, and we're going to dive into this more tomorrow, is not thinking of yourself, of less of yourself. It's not thinking you're so terrible, but it's thinking of yourself less. You know, not that long ago, I was in Africa, and there was a lot of time where I was just sitting. I was sitting in this church, and I was listening to others preaching and teaching, and it was really good. But because it was such long hours, I would often find myself just in my own brain. And I was so appalled by the amount of time I just had to think. And I realized just sitting there how much time I spend thinking about myself. And not even like in a really big existential way, but just of like, I want a Diet Coke, or like, oh, like, what am I going to, like, I would love to take a nap right now, or I wonder like if this is going to happen for me. And part of what Jesus wants to do is not that he's trying to say you're not important. You're so important. I'm so important that God takes care of me. But oftentimes I feel so insecure. We feel so insecure that we have to grasp at the security that we need for ourselves instead of worrying about giving it to others and just letting God take care of us. And so this is humility, friends. This is what he means by having unity, by thinking, counting others better than yourself, of being like, I actually can be concerned about somebody else because God is taking care of me. And I'm not thinking less of myself, but my brain, what God helps us to do and what holiness really is and what we see in the saints is there's not a preoccupation with the self. There's a freedom to not be preoccupied with what's going on with us. And I don't know about you, but I want more freedom in that. I want more freedom in not being preoccupied with what's going on with me so I can love people better. So I want you to just reflect on that as we go into tomorrow. Lord, how am I preoccupied with myself and how can I love better? God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.